Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word today, and I'm so blessed to be with you this morning. And I want to share about bearing and sharing the very glory of God, meaning we are tabernacles of God's presence. You know, you heard we're called to be vessels of God's presence in God's glory. We're not trying to obtain a new truth where we're saying, you know, God, make me a temple of your presence. When you were born again, you were made a temple of his presence. Theoretically, in reality, speaking in the spirit realm, this is what God did. He cleansed you with blood. In fact, the way God prepared your vessel to bear his presence was without hands. Meaning, when you got born again, the Spirit was given as a pledge of your inheritance. And even your baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're all talking about God's presence. And that was the reality when you got born again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, number one, as believers, we have to quit asking for that which has already been given, because sometimes we avoid what God demands of us so as to see it through. Many times we ask the Lord, and hear what I'm saying. We ask God to give us something that he's already given because we don't like the requirements of what it takes to see that truth manifested. Think about this for a minute. We ask the Lord, Lord, could you do this? Could you overcome this? He's already made us an overcomer. He's already given us the anointing. And there's a cost many times where God says, I've already put this in you. This is what I need to do it. So we repeat prayer to God. Now, nothing wrong with asking God for more of his presence, more of his spirit, more of his Zoe life. But get this in your head, because this is true. It can be true of every one of us, to where we pray to God to give us something that technically he's already given us. But what we're really wrestling with is the cost of what it takes to see that through. Now, eventually, when you were born again, you were made a temple of God's dwelling. It was by blood. Nothing could earn it. Nothing could make it happen. But I want you to hit something real quick. As you were cleansed without hands and made anew without hands, there is a response to that unearned grace, living out your faith, that is actually required. So as we look at being temples of the Spirit of God, and we look at sharing the glory and bearing the glory of God, we need to understand that the position is, we've already been designed to make that, but the increase is as you live and you walk. And the Spirit of God, is the glory of God, is number one. It would have you to bow before Jesus. The Spirit of God bears Jesus. The Spirit of God bears the throne room of God. The Spirit of God bears the very what it's like to stand next to the Lord. This is about bearing glory. Now, when you look in the scripture, a lot of times we quote stuff about this. And so today my prayer is we can get beyond the theoreticals and look at the applicable facts, the truths we must apply, and the walk we must walk. I would pray every sermon I would preach would give you the call to stepping, to walking, because otherwise you're just getting a bunch of accumulation of ideas. It's not going to do the trick. Everything you hear, I want to become flesh in me and you. But the scripture, we've often quoted this in warfare times. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. It's a good power shot, people agree, and when they get in tough times, they quote it. But most of the time, they use it as a cheerleader or a pep verse. They try to get enthused. It's not what this is about. When a believer can put 1,000 to flight, two believers can put 10,000 to flight, it is not simply about encouraging your spirit. When the glory of God is upon you, and the glory of God is flowing out of you, God is that strong. It is not a matter that you've been given a super punch like in a video game where, you know, you power up and ding, and now you got the punch, and during the time your fist glows, you can knock down buildings. No, this is really about God's very being through you. It's about the glory. A drop of glory, a drop of God's presence actually, It can undo 20 million tons of iniquity. 1,000, one can put 1,000 to flight. So when I'm in situations, I need to bear the Spirit of God. In fact, sometimes we're asking God to bear it, simply a situation, and we're missing part of the point. Yeah, you need God's grace, God's presence to bear the things you deal with. But you're supposed to be a bearer of God's glory, which is coming off of you, which is to emanate out of your person. So if I'm just sitting there going, God, help me to get through this, help me to get through this, I'm absolutely laying on the ground wanting to be ran over. When I say, God, give me endurance to get through this, not only that, God, your spirit is upon me, and I want you to manifest through me, because I can put 1,000 to flight. And if I get a brother to agree with me, we can put 10,000 to flight. And that actually speaks of God's divine arm. Now, if you think of the angel when Israel was battling Assyria, it says he held out his hand, and how many hundreds of thousands of Assyrians died in one moment? So the reality is, again, this is critically important to us. When I was in Bible school, I remember I was working at a pinball arcade as a change giver. It was a glorious job, I have to tell you. Plus, I was working at a factory on my weekends. I had to pay for school, I had to pay for apartment, and that was fun too. But in those days, and it's sad sometimes that we remember our glorious history as being better than our unglorious present situation. History always wants to be in the current, especially when it comes to the Lord. But I remember I would be around people and working in the arcade or working at the factory. And I remember many times people literally laying their whole life out. Didn't know it was in Bible school, they didn't know much about me. And they're laying their whole lives out, and they're confessing sometimes even their darkest sins. And that they would literally say, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Why did I do that? And they were literally, you could see it in their face, they were literally kind of freaked out. And I always had to explain, I said, I'm a believer. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is upon me. And he's a spirit of truth. And he honors God's truth, but he also draws out truth, especially in confessional, especially with people that need to repent and bring things out. And it was commonplace. I saw so many weird happenings that everywhere I went, this phenomena went on. Well, if you actually look at the scripture, we are to be, God is tabernacling. Originally, he tabernacled in flesh through Jesus. Now, as Jesus ascended, we're doing the same thing. God is tabernacling through our flesh in this world. It's funny, we're sons and daughters of God for a reason. The work of Jesus just, he's still here. It just continued on. What really bothers me is how Jesus is the only forsaken son, and he's the firstborn of all. He is the eternal God, the Son. But at the reality is, all this stuff is he paid. This, when you look at it, says God's made you a vessel of honor, a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're really seeing it's not a new thing, but a Jesus thing, and it's a Son of God thing and a daughter of God thing. But it's interesting. One of the problems when we get saved, the sky is the limit, and we trust the Lord like a child. And in our desire to grow up in the Lord, which we are supposed to mature, we get old in a part of our being that should be like a child believing and receiving. And we need to mature in the knowledge of God. But there's a humility, and God doesn't call us to be intellectual in that we just dabble about and talk about facts with no living proof of them. If you're in a situation, you can put 1,000 to flight. This is not mythical or some little rah-rah verse. This is a reality. But it's interesting. I so go back to this so many times, and I remember, you know, there was a guy bullying everybody in my school. And everybody was afraid of him. And he was kind of a big kid, and he was quiet. And I was kind of like 122 pounds wet. But I was kind of ornery. And everybody feared him, and he could back people down just by staring at him and saying one word, and people went under submission. So I went up in the cafeteria. I thought, and they said, I said, is he the toughest guy here? And they said, man, he's crazy. Nobody deals with him. And I just walked up to him and punched him right in the nose and knocked him on the ground. I said, he don't look so tough to me. And he was scared. Now, whether that intimidated him and he could have broke me like a pretzel is another story, but that's not what happened. Sometimes believers sit there, they can put 1,000 to flight, they're cowering at one, two enemies, maybe a demon spirit, and they're just overwhelmed. And that is a reality they're living in, but it is not the reality of who they are, nor is it a reality of what God desires to do for them. Here's the thing, we're in a season where God's calling Christians to rise and to fight. We are in a season where the Lord is saying, you're going to rise, my people, you're going to fight. One of you can put 1,000 to flight. I tire sometimes. When people cower on the ground and their spine disappears and they can't stand. And they're being bullied by the guy that they can just punch in the nose and knock him down. Easy. What is your mouth when you get into situations? Think about that. What is your mouth? Have you ever had a person confess their deepest, darkest sins to you? And they didn't know why suddenly they revealed truth. Have you ever had to explain to someone, I'm a believer and the Spirit of God is on me. And it'll move you sometimes to doing things you weren't planning on doing. If not, I want to welcome you to start awakening and start saying, you know what, he's right. The Spirit of God is upon me. The glory of God cannot be contained in my vessel. It is meant to pour out. It is meant to affect that which is around me. I can deal with a person because one puts 1,000 and two puts 10,000. That's incredible, guys. Does that mean every time we've hit these situations, we all act that way? No. Does it mean that when we're up against it, we've not been overwhelmed by 2 or 3 or 5 or 10? No, we have. But you have to understand something, the way truth works. Truth is activated by situation, not by simple knowledge. We actually get truth the way it was meant to be experienced. When we hear it, it affects us and we live it out. We act it out. So there are situations that come against you where God is giving you a chance to stand up. You know, it's interesting. I asked God to teach me divine love, and he rose up enemies and let them rise up against me to come against me. I asked God to give me patience, and he tried my every patience. And I asked God to give me love, and he made it to where I got hit on the one cheek and he had to turn the other. Not how I planned. When I was an early Christian, I wanted all the attributes, you know, like to be displayed, but I didn't understand that divine love is displayed the greatest when it is absolutely, when you are hated. Forgiveness is best displayed when you are wronged. Strength is only displayed when the strength is challenged. So as believers, your life is like a, how can I say it, guys? Your life is like a, what do you call it? It's all the steps where God's trying to bring you. I want to say something too. God's not really, right. As we sit here today, I mean, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And that may sound like a neat Hallmark saying, but it's true, isn't it? Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, today I have. This is the thing. Now, getting into this aspect, I'm a vessel, I'm a temple. Because there are many times I didn't exactly feel like a temple. There are also times I did not act like a temple of God's Spirit at all. But nevertheless, being a vessel, being a temple. And I love the two things. We're described as a temple of the Spirit. We're also described as vessels. That's excellent because it narrows down what we're doing. But as believers, I want you to understand that God also wants to fill you and fill you again with his Spirit and his glory. He wants you to be able to affect that which is around you. Now, I worked at one job where there was a man and he was into some dark wickedness. And he just said, I don't like you. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. You. There's something about you that I hate. And he was very forward with it. And again, the Spirit of God is in me. It opposes. So sometimes you go, wait a minute, you said that I can put 1,000 to flight and I got attacked. Or someone, they didn't get down and tell me their deepest secret. The only secret they told me is how they didn't like me. Well, that's also the other reaction. But I want to get into something very briefly. 2 Timothy 2:19. I want to encourage you, have faith today. You're growing, okay? Count your victories in steps and measures. Don't count your victories, you know. Many times, did you ever feel like that? If you make a mistake, everything's failed. If you win, you've won forever. And in either way, it's really weird. Because when I make a mistake, I don't go, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. My life's over. It just doesn't work like that. I do count victory per step. I do count victory, the victory. You know, do you ever get a victory and go, wow, the Lord's really growing me in this area. And then you got a sand ballot sitting there and going, yeah, but look at what you did all those other places. It's just not the Lord. It's not how God even operates. We have to relish. We have to cherish. We have to love the victories that God is bringing to us. And we have to start thinking about that. I can't tell you the times I've heard something like, I've blown it. My life is over. And I told one fellow many years ago, I said, if that's true, then mine was over many years ago. Could not stand here talking to you today. But if we are temples, we are vessels, let's read. 2 Timothy 2:19. You know what I love about the Scripture? The Scripture is like absolute, right? And it speaks the truth. You don't read it and go, I don't think so. But it's interesting. What seems to be in the world we live in now is this really strong push to either, it really, because of lives and compromise, many times people denigrate and take the Word of God down. You get somebody compromised saying, hey, I just can't do it right at all. I see that. I don't know what God's talking about there. But that's the problem. We can get wrapped into iniquity and failure to where we begin to denigrate the word of God. And I love the saying, let every man be found a liar and God be found true. I've been in the Lord a while, and I'm going to tell you, it's a fact. Let every man be found a liar and God true. What God says is true, absolutely. The error doesn't lie in what he said. The error lies in me. The error doesn't lie in the word of God and the standard it sets for us to live, and the truths and the eternal truths it speaks to, the error is going to always lie in my own spirit. God did his part. I'm just translating that. 2:19 we're going to read. Nevertheless, the firm foundation... Oh, 2 Timothy, I don't know if I said that. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I want to explain something to you, the difference between a mistake and living it. Christians make mistakes, I guarantee you. In fact, some of you may have made it before I ever saw you, and I might have made one before I saw you. But fallibility, and we are not perfect, by no means doesn't mean we have to live in absolute sin. And here's the thing. There's a consistency issue. Pursue righteousness and depart from iniquity. Because here's the thing. Iniquity isn't wrapped up in a deed. Although it comes out in deeds and you make mistakes that are called and you sin. Iniquity is wrapped up in a lifestyle, in a way you exist. This is the point. When you pursue the Lord, you're not pursuing iniquity. We often dice God into little errors here and here, but everything has a root. Everything has a foundation. Everything started with a way of thinking, with a way of looking at things. That's the reality. In fact, many times we chase symptoms and don't ever get to cause. In fact, it's easier to chase symptoms than it is to get to cause. Many times if there's a thing in your life to depart from, you will find that you have set a system around it emotionally, with your words, a cycle that you tend to process in. God's into breaking the cycles. I don't care what it is you suffer from, because the cycles are made to be broken. But it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, this is interesting. Purging myself of iniquity, from hanging on to iniquity, from pursuing iniquity, is an interesting thing, because if we're going to talk about being bearers of glory, then I know that one thing that can affect my vessel has a lot to do with what I allow to be poured into it, what I listen to, what I take in. You realize, a lot of people don't realize when you use the word social media, because, I mean, I'm not here to damn it, but the point about when we look at what we're taking in, with the advent of television, with the advent of phones, with the advent of social media, we live in a world where everyone's talking. We live in a world where you can see the thoughts of a person in California and the thoughts of a person in China and the thoughts of a person in Asia. And it's interesting, because when you talk about purging yourself of iniquity and departing from hanging on and pursuing these things, you have to ask yourself, you know, what do you purge? What do you cling to? Many times when we need to get something out, we have to first face the reality that we pretty much like it being there. That's a reality. And as much as the end result and the seeding will go, oh, that's horrible, the support system for whatever it is we need to purge, we don't like to mess with that. We will keep stuff in place the way we think, the way we look at things, more than you realize. And the first thing about purging is realizing there are things I'm going to purge that I may be affectionate with. There are things I'm going to purge that I may be comfortable with because it's familiarity. When you talk about purging, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Because it means a purging, getting it out of your system. I would think about, too, something that this, if I'm getting rid of stuff, you know, and I want to be a vessel for honorable use, one thing that we often don't grasp is, you know, these vessels mentioned, part of them are that which would be in a king's house, but part of them were that which you use for human waste and refuge and spit and all the other gross stuff. The God is actually acknowledging in the household there's going to be people that they are open and they treat themselves like a garbage can. He understood that. But I love what he talks about, because it isn't, Mike, you're a clay vessel. Pastor Mike, you're a gold vessel. No, just, hey, if you cleanse yourself, you can make yourself a gold vessel. You can be the vessel. But we're getting poured into all the time. There's a phenomenon that we don't understand. We're getting poured into all the time. We're taking stuff in all the time. I think a lot of Christians, and may we discern, I'll get into this in a little bit, because I want to be a vessel that emanates the Spirit of God, that like all of us. It's not pastors who emanate the Spirit of God, it's believers. I want to be a vessel that God can move into, and he can move through me, and I want to work on the things that I would cause me to resist such a thing. A vessel represents something you store. That's it. Grain vessels, water, wine vessels. I mean, there's things that we store in, but we are the vessels. And what we pour into ourselves, and again, you know, there used to be the old sermon about don't watch this show, don't watch this show. You know, it's a lot bigger, really. And yeah, there's things you take in that affect you deeply. I like certain kinds of movies. I like mysteries and sometimes crime mysteries. And it's interesting because one thing for certain, there's certain things he's like, I'm not going to take that in. And then there's another one, I might like it, but it's like, it's 11 o'clock. I'm not going to watch that, especially when I'm going to sleep. And you start to realize there's a thing to be poured in, and then you go, yeah, I'm not touching that, man. I'm not touching that. So if we can understand in ourselves that we're living in a world that is pouring into us all the time, and we need to pour into each other, and we need to pour into each other the things from the Spirit of God. We desperately need that. In fact, who's pouring into you? What are you listening to? What do you allow to be poured into you? You know, it's sad, because you can get, you know, people and even couples and friends that insult each other all the time. And that's what they pour into each other. You can get dynamics where people pour threats into you all the time. You can get dynamics to where people pour into you how unworthy, how ugly you are. And it's interesting because we take it in. And this is what I'm praying too. As a vessel, you're a temple and a vessel. I'm praying that you start to understand that as you are a vessel, you are... I'm just actually praying that you start to understand when you're being poured into. A lot of us get poured into and we don't even realize it. Meaning, we get all kinds of words, ideas, thoughts, pick up the spirits of other men and women, and we don't even know. It's like, I didn't even know I was getting poured into. And it's funny, I've started, you know, feeling this way, and now I'm feeling this way, and that's all in influx, all what we're taking in. Can you reject things? Do you have a mind to reject things when you know what's being poured is hurting you? Do you understand that? You know, it's very hard many times, and you get a lot of marriages, and that's where I think that... But it happens with friends, too, but you get an abusive spouse, a man or woman, and they'll insult the person with them, and I mean, really insult them all the time. And the person just takes it in, and it shapes them. What I'm asking you to do as a believer is to understand that you're a temple and a vessel of God. And I'm asking you to say, Lord, help me to discern, because the world I live in pours into me all the time. And I'm determining what vessel I am by what I take in. Seriously. I'm also determining what vessel I am by what I put out. Being vessels and being temples is a fearful business. And what I mean is, if you think about God in his fullness and his Spirit dwelling in you, to see that to a greater degree, meaning that reality is more real. Because let's be honest. The theoretical, yes, I know that term. I know that. I know all of what I'm saying. Whether I live what I'm saying is, it can be a whole different story. I can tell you, I absolutely believe that I want to be a vessel for honorable use. I absolutely believe I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus, just like I talked. But to me, there is a greater degree of the manifestation of these truths, and we've yet to experience them. I've had, and I say this to share a really precious thing, in our lives, we are growing in these realities. But when we think because we are familiar with a subject matter that we actually understand it to the depths that it exists, is so many times wrong. I could speak a verse of truth to you and you've heard it 1,000 times and you can quote it to me. That doesn't mean you know it at all. One beautiful thing when Paul would preach sometimes in his epistles, he would use the word to know. But there was both gnosko, in Greek, and then the preposition epigenosko. And gnosko you know, could mean knowing something like the verse. I quote it to you, sister, and you know it. Epigenosko, actually, when he would use it, meant to know it through actual experience. In some of the deeper claims Paul makes in the epistles, he purposely used the Greek word epigenosko, not just learn it and then think you understand it because you can quote it. Now, this isn't a cut down to you or me or any of us, but there's a profound depth of revealing, and there's a profound depth and a deeper depth of God's glory. You have not seen the depth of the presence of the Lord to the highest degree that it exists in your life. Absolutely not. Don't ever give me the, I've been saved for this many years. Because it gets nonsensical. People often talk maturity and chronology. And I got to tell you something. Chronology is rarely a friend of maturity. You can be maturity, you know, in a year, in two, and three, depending on how your heart is. In fact, as vessels, we take in the worst stuff. We allow thoughts to come in our minds. We process it. We speak it back out. We act on it. We live it. And when it comes to being the vessel and the temple and bearing the glory of God, the presence of God's going to deal with you. The presence of God is going to change you. It always has. But we are vessels and temples, and you got to ask yourself sometimes, what do I refuse to take in? And I'll be honest with you, I'm older and it doesn't change. You're younger. Some of you are mid-age. I mean, we're all kinds of ages in the sanctuary. And I'm still learning on this one, what I take in. Have you ever come into a room and it's hostile? Have you ever come into a room and it's hostile and you feel it, the comments start, and people actually want to get into a fight? And you start taking in their contentious spirit. And it's interesting, and you go, I don't believe it. I don't argue anymore. But when I go there, I got caught up in an argument. Well, number one, familiarity can breed contempt. Number two, it's kind of an interesting thing, the way we act out. And we're getting poured into, and we don't realize it. I will make a little mention today as vessels. I just want you to learn how to take in. I want you to learn how to bear the glory of God. I want you to be raised up. And there is a profoundness. It's interesting. Where God can reveal himself more greatly and greatly to your life. Again, people go, I felt the presence of the Lord. Of course, that's great. That doesn't mean you felt the presence of the Lord to the depth he really was there. It doesn't mean you felt the presence of the Lord to the deeper manifestation of his presence at all. It just means you had a basic sense. I've seen the glory of God come down where it was intimidating. Actually intimidating. Would strain your body. Would strain your flesh. I've seen the glory come down where I've seen Christians that were absolutely gaming for all their Christianity, and they walked in the room and ran out because it was then that the fullness was seen. And that shows you. And they sat in other sanctuaries, but their sense of God's presence was next to nil, many times harboring sin. And then they got a hold of it. I'll never forget, I drove 400 miles to watch a man run out of the sanctuary. The minute we broke the thresh, it was so physically heavy in the room, the glory, the presence, a weighty presence of God. The minute we stepped through, he looked like he saw a ghost. This is a guy that hung around religious circles, Christian circles for years. And he hit that door so quick. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, not to make fun of this person. You wouldn't know him anyway. But to give you the point that it's the manifestation of God's glory and you bearing it in your being and you sharing it is critical to success. Period. There's no other advice I'm going to give you. In fact, it's interesting. We need the glory and the presence of God working in us, to us, and then through us. We are creating new ways to reach people because we will not let the glory of the Lord truly come in the way it wants to. So we invent other methods. And instead of God's presence convicting and bringing men to their knees, we have got into arguments, presentation. I've dealt with people. I dealt with a guy that he wanted to know about the gospel, and the Lord told me to pray for him, and he got dropped on the floor, and he was so freaked out because he lost physical control. Then I preached the gospel to him. It was an easy sell. This is something we have to, again, the church right now, the Lord gave me a vision of the church, and I saw a bunch of little kids running out with cap guns, you know. Let's fight! Bang, 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 bang! All they had was cap guns. There was no real weaponry there. And he said, this is what my American church is like. They think they're ready to go out. They're not even, they're little kids with cap guns. They're not doing anything. And they're excited because they got their cap guns. Sometimes this vessel gets poured into and it's hard. Sometimes you're just going to have to discern it. I can't give you situations. And I would encourage you to pour into each other because, you know, we go like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can affect that person. Man, give the presence of God a chance. Quit saying what you can't or can do, because it is God to you and through you. If it was really all up to you and you were the hope, we might as well hang it up and go home. The presence of God wants to do to you what he wants to do through you. And there's the other thing. I don't want to talk about the God that Paul talked about. I want to talk about the God that I know. I don't want to talk about a power that I heard somebody said they had one time. I want to work in the power. But the glory and the presence and the power of God has an effect on us. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to say one thing real quick to all you social media people. Myself as well. And I want to say this because I think it's important. Number one, if you're thinking I'm about to damn social media or tell you to get off Facebook, I don't always do that. In fact, I'm not a ranter. I try not to rant. But we need to realize one thing about all social media. It's something the Lord showed me a couple weeks ago, and it surprised me that he showed it to me. The spirits of men, all people do on social media is talk, rant, and talk about whatever they care for at the moment, whatever view they have. And there's almost a novelty like, man, I wrote that and other people saw that. And it's kind of, the novelty is almost kind of enticing. But here's the bottom line. You take in so many different attitudes, spirits of men. You can take in 35 different attitudes. And we often go like, you know, well, that guy's crazy and we're above it. No, we're not. We're taking the time to read his craziness. And then we're taking the time to talk about his craziness to another two people. And they're talking to two people. And the spirits of men are being shared. I've seen Christians get into it. Then they're arguing. Then they're typing. Then they're aggravated or lacking aggravation. And they don't even realize. You talk about being a vessel, what you're willing to take in. Reading mindlessness for 30 minutes of other people will not make you a better man. It will not make you holy. It will not make you a bearer of God's glory. In fact, many times you get younger believers, they're unskilled and they're getting into this and they're picking up the spirits of other people. And they're getting off that phone and they're dull. They may not get an evil spirit. They may not feel demonic oppression, but they get off and they're dull. So they look at more media and take in more opinions and more spirits of men. So I would say this. It's true that you can say something really wise on a public format. But it's also true that you can get very caught up in what's going on and whatever flurry and whatever flavor of the day of insult or somebody's outraged about this, somebody's ranting. I believe the exchange in itself is very fruitless. I believe a lot of Christians are getting very upset and they're taking in and they're being poured into and they don't even realize it. So I would never say condemn it, but I would say this. If you're going to use anything, understand these principles. And then think really hard, do I want to see the opinion of 35 different people passing around? Do I want to laugh at somebody's stupidity? And hey, I'll be the first one to tell you something. I'm not on Facebook, but I've definitely laughed at many YouTubes because they're just hysterical. But sometimes we don't even think about what we share. We don't even think what we put out. But I just wanted to say that because in this age, this is something believers are dealing with a lot. And sometimes you can get somebody that's contentious and you're like, oh, that's so wrong. And we begin to type our article. Yeah, you just got caught up into a spirit of dissension that has nothing to do with you. Yet you jumped in because it made you upset. Bingo. Now you're getting poured into and you're pouring out. Listen, it's not all damned, but I got to tell you something. There should be caution and warning labels for believers on this stuff. Because I've seen it, I've experienced it myself, and I just want to say that, guys. I've seen mature believers reduced to ranting and posting rants and rants and rants and rants. And it's sad. Because God didn't call them. That's not what they were made for. That's not their design. We are not called to bally about stupidity and giggle. I love laughing. I hope you love laughing. But there's just things that you can get into. It just takes you away from what matters. So just use God's wisdom. And also sometimes when you see something and you read something and your pulse rate accelerates immediately, I'm going to give you a hint. It's probably not the Spirit of the Lord moving you at that moment. It's your adrenaline glands. And you're getting agitated. And your heart rate's increasing. Just talking physiologically and even psychologically, something's wrong with that. When your heart rate increases, that's adrenaline. Very few good things happen when adrenaline releases. Violence does. Bad arguments. Flesh screaming. I was talking to a guy once and he was getting really worked up. I was talking about a scripture. And I just looked at him and I said, your heart rate's increased, you're flushed now, there's blood in your cheeks, you're mad. We're not having this conversation because there's nothing you're going to say that's going to help me. And if I listen to you, there's nothing that I'm going to respond that's going to help you. Now, I'm not a genius. I've been caught up plenty of times, more than I can actually count. So I say some of this by deep, deep experience. But just think about it, guys. Think about it for a minute. Two types of vessels, though, I love, gold and silver. Those aren't the toilet ones. You don't use it. You don't use a gold vessel or a silver vessel for a potty seat. Think about this. But what I love about me getting my vessel ready is a gold vessel is held by the king. You know what I'm saying? Silver vessels, they were used in the presence of royalty. God wants to hold me in his hand and pour me out. Do you remember when Paul says, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering? There's a tie-in with this scripture, actually. He's acknowledging as a vessel, and he's a vessel in the hand of God. He was a vessel, he became a vessel of honor. He was a man that agreed with Stephen stoning and the murder of the Christian. He was a man that was dragging Christians out to the court of law from their houses by the hair. Now, he says, I'm getting ready. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The only one that can pour out the drink offering is the priesthood, Jesus. So he is a vessel in the Savior's hand. And I got to tell you, one of the things that made him that vessel was affliction. It was trials. It was loss. Now he's in the hand of the king. And he goes to Rome and he's going to be beheaded, which he was beheaded. He was martyred before the emperor. Probably given a chance, final chance. Listen, this can all go away. Just deny your faith and call me the emperor, the divine, as everybody else does. And there he was in the hand of the king. That's the best part about the bearing and emanating the glory of God is what we're called to do, is that as vessels, you're in the hand of the king and he wants to pour out through you. And then at the end of Paul's ministry, he was literally poured out from the king. And he gave his life. It's a beautiful thing. You know, God wants to have you. It's funny. We are like really always in the hand of God. We're not bigger than God, stronger. I think of the one cartoon where the little guy's running around the big hand of the giant, you know. He's running. He's got some space to move, but quite frankly, the giant can just do that and he's caught. The Lord desires to do through you, into you, what he wants to do through you regarding glory. The Lord desires to hold you in his hand. Because you're that vessel that's fit for a king to hold. And there is the blood of Jesus. But I want to tell you something. What you prefer, what you allow to pour in, what you spend time, has a deep effect on, think about this for a minute. It has a deep effect on what you're used for. When people allow sewage and garbage into their life constantly, and they take in nothing but foul filth, they make themselves a vessel of wood or clay, which they used to really pee in. It may sound a bit graphic, but that's what they did. They used other vessels as bedpans to excrete in. But when we start saying, I want to take in more of you, God. In fact, Lord, if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit and a vessel, I want to. That means you're making me a sacred thing. I'm a sacred thing that you wish to fill. And by the blood, you paid the price. But as a believer, with your power and your spirit, there's a way I can walk, things I can prefer that change my vessel. You know, there's going to be many clay and wood vessels that took in trash, and God lights you up, and they're just going to start becoming the vessel of honorable use. They're going to change the very nature of what they're made of, because they're going to change the nature of what they freely take in and what they put out. This is a learning process, guys. Think about this. You know, I look at John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of man, of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it's interesting. Through the salvation in Christ, he's given us the power to become sons of God, all of us. And what you don't know will hurt you. You need to understand, when I gave you that math early on, one believer can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. That's not just a good saying. You're stronger than you know. You know, I had an experience as a young believer, and I had an experience where a demon manifests. And I got to be honest, I've seen, you know, theatrical effects, you know. What really blew my mind is what I was watching wasn't physically possible. And I admit, I was stunned. I was stunned. I might have been a Christian and read about the man with the legion, but when you're in a small room with a person, and yeah, it grabs you. And I was weak. I didn't know a lot of scripture. You know what I mean? I wasn't a preacher. I was just a Christian. And I remember the horror of that demon. Didn't he want me to touch the person? It was writhing. You know, and I'm thinking, as I got out of it, I went, in you, Jesus, we are strong. With your spirit, Jesus, we are feared by the devil. And I even realized that night, obviously, by the blood, by the regeneration of what he has made me, one can put a thousand to flight. I saw the power. I saw the power. I saw how much this math works in our lives. How deeply, almost done here, does God's math affect you? Do you see it? Do you understand it? How deeply do you, when you're in a threat, do you immediately go, oh, I'm just me, I'm just weak, I can't do this? Is that the first thought? When there's a threat, do you go, I can't do this? It's God's, I'm not that kind of person. I'm here to tell you, you are that kind of person. I'm here to remind you, as you need to remind each other, we need to remind each other that I can do this, I can do this. I am not impotent. I am not weak. I am not a jellyfish. I am not pathetic. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. I like this, guys. I think about Elijah and Elisha and, you know, the people surround. And I think of actually the other story where it's like there's chariots of fire all around the mountains, but the servant can't see him. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. That's my prayer for us today. Lord, open our eyes to what's there. Lord, I'm not going to run and say, please send this, send that. Yeah, there are times when God will move you and you'll request specific. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we need our eyes opened. We don't need a visitation as much as we need to see the visitation. And we don't need extra power when God's already strengthened me, but wants me to exercise it. One thing the enemy does a lot to the Christians is he's a liar. And he constantly lies to you about yourself. Absolutely. When you make a mistake, he's there to condemn you. When you do it right, he's there to call you a hypocrite. When you're faced by an enemy or a foe, he's there to tell you how unable you are to fight. It's illusionary. That's the funny thing. It's an illusion. Because he's a father of lies, somebody said, how do I know when the devil's lying to me? I said, when his mouth is moving. That's about it. How do I know it? Well, his mouth's moving. I used to joke and say that about politicians too, but I'm going to leave that one out. Remember, reacting to God's presence, though, and I want you to think about this. Two things Christians do a lot when God's presence moves. They worship and they pray. They worship and they pray. When God's Spirit moves heavily on us, well, think about your own life here as we're about to close here. You worship and you pray. When I've seen people where the Spirit of God hits them, many times they begin to pray, and then sometimes they begin to sing, and sometimes they begin to speak in tongues. They react to the glory of the Lord. I pray that we can see a manifestation. I want every one of you, as we close, to know the strength and the things that God's doing in you. I want you to understand that that strong person isn't this other person you know. You wished you were, but you're not. And it's you know what I mean. I want you to understand as we close today, and this is actually like a part one because there's so much to being the temple of God, so much to being as God manifests through you to others. But how do you see yourself when you walk in a room with three sinners, four cynics, maybe 10? Do you go, oh gosh, I'm the minority here? Not in God's math, you're not. But isn't it funny? If you believe that, when you get in a situation, nothing will happen. If you believe you're weak, if you believe you're highly outnumbered and you're afflicted and, oh my gosh, I can't do this. If you believe that, yeah, you're going to have a bad day. If you understand that the Spirit of the Lord is in you and he wants to increase, that's what I'm bottom line as I close today. He wants to increase. He wants to cause you to have a greater sense of his presence, his glory. He wants to increase your ability to go, but so much is solved by the presence of the Lord. I've seen theological arguments solved quickly when, you know, the presence of the Lord manifests. I see people apologize and go, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, and even the person that was walking carnal sensed it and just went, I'm so sorry. I've seen people stop mid-sentence and begin to weep because all of a sudden their attention was turned to God's glory. I want you to understand this. Now, is there situations where it can feel oppressive? Yes. When you something comes against you, just oppression, maybe a group, maybe a crowd, maybe whatever, it's natural, unfortunately, to feel intimidated, fearful. But if you started saying, my presence in that place is the presence of God. My presence in this place is a chance for the glory of God to be revealed. It changes the way you view the situation you're in. Let's pray today. I'm so glad to be here with you all, you two. And God wants to do a great work. He really does. There's many presences. There's many different kinds of presence in the world. The spirit of man, spirit of the enemy, spirit of God. And we've got to realize we are filled with one thing or the other. It is true. But today as we go, you are called to be those vessels. Have faith. Trust the Lord. Father, as we just dismissed this morning, we are called to be those ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be those people of presence. Lord, I pray every one of us in this room, we've all seen adversity. We've had situations that were just hard, all of us. We've had, you know, things come up. Lord, we'd be lying if we said we all aced it without ever being intimidated or we didn't have a low moment. But Lord, I realize even as I preach today and we speak directly, the enemy is a liar and he has lied to everybody in this room. Jesus. He started lying when I was far younger. He'll continue to lie till the day I see you, Jesus. He will lie about me. He will lie about those I love. He will lie about how strong I am. He will lie about whether I can overcome or not. He will lie, lie, lie. That's what he does, Lord. But I pray that the light shines, the lies are lifted. Lord, we have many opinions about ourselves. Sometimes we're proud, and we just can't see our flaw. Sometimes we're weak, and we can't see Christ in us. And we really need to be that people in a generation. Lord, there are people that need to speak prophetically. There are people that need to rise up. Their sons, their daughters of God, they just need to rise up. There are people that say, Lord, give me power. I feel weak. But Lord, I've seen this many times. We need, and I speak this even for myself as well, we need a personal manifestation to get greater and greater. Lord, we get really professional at being Christians. We get used to some presence and we've been under the anointing. And for whatever reason, we kind of believe that's the deepest depth of our sensitivity that can be had. And it's not. We want to grow in our sense of your glory. First, personally, we want to grow in seeing you more, God. Lord, I've not arrived. In fact, I'm far from arrived. We are all in training. We are all working in practice. And we are all getting opportunities. And I pray, Lord, right now too. Lord, the enemy lies about us all the time. He's either accusing us of this or giving a judgment of that. He is like that. He loves to belittle the believers. He loves to belittle. Lord, I see so many Christians nowadays ashamed of certain scriptures. And Lord, I see that for what it is, because we should never be ashamed of the Word of God. I see Christians apologizing. Lord, they just don't know. Many Christians are operating on a no presence at all. Many believers, they've read about you. They're not experiencing you. And that's not right. So I pray your arms are open with love. And we need to experience your glory, Father, in our lives. Lord, we don't want to judge ourselves from a mistake. Many times, Lord, we make a mistake. People define their entire life by one mistake. We need to define ourselves first by your blood, and secondly, you make all things new. And we need to grab this, God. Lord, some of this about glory and sharing presence is sometimes deeper. I don't have words for all of it. I admit that. Sometimes it's just profound in a sense where it's hard to teach a congregation some specifics. But I know everybody here. There's a blessing to knowing the people. I know what you're capable of in them. What you're capable of in me. So I'm praying and outpouring right now, Father. We love you, God. We love you. And Lord, you love us. Jesus, I met you many years ago. And what I found staggering, Jesus, is how you loved me. I was so wicked. I so remember to this day like it was yesterday how you embraced me in blood. How you held my hand. how you loved me without cause. You chose the love. I saw it, and I saw it, how you embraced me. I had no sense of my past as I stood with you. It was gone. I had no sense of the iniquity in the past. It was gone. There was no guile in you. Jesus, you're the perfect Son of God, the Savior of mankind. So I pray right now as we're praying in Revelation that you would say, you would restore the spirit. Some are tired. This has been a heavy season. Some are hurting. Lord, I pray right now a restoration of strength as the enemy has told people. He said, who do you think you are standing up to the devil? Who do you think you are speaking that truth in that situation? Who do you think you are? And he's a liar. Always has been, always will be. I pray a raising up right now and a resurrecting. And we got people watching on YouTube, and I pray that there's a strengthening right now. We need to see ourselves through your eyes. We need to see ourselves through your eyes, Lord. Behold, you make all things new. We're excited today because today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Tomorrow's done, gone. It's gone. It's in the books. I can't do a thing about tomorrow. In fact, I can only live in the moment I'm in. And that's the beauty. Lord, I love it. That's a beautiful thing. We worry about future that we don't even understand. We anticipate things that may come or may not come. And it's interesting because, Jesus, you told us day at a time. Day at a time should be a sound music to our ears. So as we dismiss today, I thank you for everyone watching. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you, God, as we stand. And we stand in your blood today. And I pray your presence manifest and encourage the people here. I want more of that, Lord. I want more of that. I want to see these sons, daughters of God rise in the strength that you've designed. We believe it today. I just want to thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.